Spirit fills the worship. Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 to 35. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord.
Amen. God bless the reading of his word. Thank you there, brother. I appreciate it. I know I'm getting a little bit older, because I know my ADD is kicking in a little bit more often, and I'm catching myself. Maybe some of you are a little bit like that. I don't know. You get up off the couch, you walk into the bedroom. What did I walk in here for? Anybody else at all? Come on now. Okay, I'm not alone, right? Okay. I forgot. I need to send an email to John. Yeah, I got to send an email to John. So you get up and you log on, and it takes forever. Okay, you got to get it. And then, okay, I got some emails, and then you respond to the emails. And then, I got to better check the Penguin score. To check the Penguin score, do some research, look at something, and then walk away and go, I never sent that email to John. Yeah, wasn't I supposed to do that? So I'm recognizing that, that's, I don't even know what the next level of ADD is. I don't even know what that is. I already know I'm starting to experience. You forget to wear pants. I don't. What would it be? Anybody? I don't know. We're not there yet. we feel like sometimes we're getting close. Here's your first one before I get too distracted. Dedication danger. Weapons of mass distraction. So I recognize that the distractions aren't just from the outside. A lot of those distractions are right in my own head. I can easily distract myself or forget what I got distracted by. Now, I know that this passage of scripture can be a little bit challenging for some folks. Life for us, for many of us, consists of a series of rabbit trails. And that's how we kind of go through life, just going from one rabbit trail down to another rabbit trail to another, instead of like living on the freeway, right? A lot of us have a lot of exits and detours and rabbit trails. It's kind of like my former neighbor, I'd ask him, hey, what time it is? What time is it? And he'd build me a watch. Do you understand what I mean by that? What time is it? All he'd have to do is go, oh, it's 10:15. But instead of just telling me it's 10:15, he has to have a big, long story that goes along with telling me it's 10:15, So that's like saying when you ask somebody what time it is, they build you a watch, Or like, where's Forest Hill Boulevard? Well, let me tell you about Forest Hill Boulevard. Well, I don't need to know the 50-year history of Forest Hill Boulevard. I just need to know where Forest Hill Boulevard is. See, distractions come in all types. They come in all sizes, big and small. And our scripture is really trying to help us to limit some of our distractions. And the scriptures are talking a lot about some of the outside things, but it's also the inside things within our own heads. We have to be very aware of what we're dedicated to. We're always busy. All of us are busy. You have no more time than I do in this given day. But some people will say, I don't have time. Well, you have the same amount of time as everybody else. You get time. Time. Time is relevant in that regard. But somehow we think about it a little bit differently when it comes to us. We're all busy, but we're getting nowhere. We're always active, but are we getting anything done? We can make a lot of plans. We can dream a lot of dreams, and life happens. And too often we feel as if life is happening to us rather than creating a life. Life will dictate our decisions and control our schedules. The issue is that it all seems important and so necessary. We have tended to a million little things and left undone one big thing. We dedicate our lives to the tyranny of the urgent, down another rabbit trail. You heard this term, we major in the minors. Major in the minors. We can easily fill our day with things that are ultimately do not really matter, specifically eternally, and leave undone things that really do have significance and matter very much. We have done what seems necessary and neglected what is essential. We have done the urgent and neglected the eternal. So 1 Corinthians here, Paul's writing in response to some questions that they had, and he's writing letters of correction. He's correcting the church in Corinth. He's correcting them in their attitudes and the way in which they deal with situations and the ways in which they deal with each other. And as he's responding to these questions, he's trying to be as spiritual as possible and bring in some of the stuff that's coming in from the world into the church. And do you recognize it? See, these are believers that are gathered together. They have all kinds of issues. Kind of like, well, all the believers that are gathered here that have all kinds of issues. And he writes, or they actually write and ask him, and he writes. He writes about divisions in the church. He writes about lawsuits amongst each other. He writes about family, about marriage, about remarriage, about meat sacrificed to animals, incest that's happening. He's writing about sexual immorality, all kinds of stuff. And what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. The time is short. Your time on this earth is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. And I can hear everybody going, woohoo! See, he's not saying the married folks should go out and, you know, start dating and living wildly or put your name on eHarmony or start Tindering. Yeah, I'm saying I'll look for my next wife, you know. Not that. That's not what he's saying. He is saying that we can have too much focus on the family. He is saying that your family can be the distraction. He is saying that you can have too much focus on the family and you forget who gave you the family. See, it's kind of the Martha and Mary scenario. Martha is busy with the toil of the day, right? She's cooking and she's cleaning and she's preparing for the guest, and there's Mary enjoying the guest. See, we don't have guests over to your house because it's so much preparation and so much work and so much exhaustion and so much health and stuff goes, and you never enjoy the guest because you're so busy frustrating over all the stuff. Martha dedicated to the urgent earthly tasks, and they need to get done. But she misses the eternal value in the moment. She misses the eternal value in the relationship and in the people. Is the priority the meal, or is the priority the guest? Is the priority a clean house, or is the priority the people that you invite? What's the priority? This is what Paul's suggesting to us. And these can be kind of difficult to discern at times, which is the proper thing to do and when. How do you serve the family without neglecting the Lord? Isn't serving my family serving the Lord? Of course. Just be careful that your family doesn't become the God you worship. You with me? Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to that which you are dedicated to. See, I wrote, what is your idol? And God said, no, that's not right. Who is your idol? and your family can quickly become an idol. Your family can lead you away from the Lord, and down another rabbit trail, down the tyranny of the urgent, down the tyranny away from the Lord, right? Can family do that? Yeah, absolutely. See, priority is not family. It's God in the family. That's the priority. God in the family. It's amazing to think, really, that your family could even be a distraction. And it can be with all the good stuff, like, you know, running to soccer games, so you skip church. Right? Oh, it's out for family breakfast every Sunday morning, and you skip fellowship. But I'm giving time to my family. Isn't that what the Lord would want? See, these are good things, but at what sacrifice? At what sacrifice? What example are you setting and laying out? It can also be the, not so much always the good stuff, but it can be the bad stuff within the families as well. Dysfunctional brother, oh my God, that constantly monopolizes your time, always trying to take you down a rabbit trail, always trying to take you somewhere else, always inviting you to places you don't want to go. The homeless sister that you always have to worry about, that you always have to pray about. Was it Tia? George would call, I don't know if you know George, I don't see George here today, but George would, he was calling the church like several days in a row. We got to find Tia. Tia's a homeless girl on the street. We got to find Tia. She needs to come to the Lord. Tia needs to come to the church. And he was obsessed with Tia, finding Tia. We got to find Tia. Alcoholic children, you don't see for days on end. You worry about them. Never a moment's peace in your own heart. You can be consumed by family dysfunction. And let me just say this. Every family's dysfunctional. Let me just say that. It's like, you know what the norm is today? What normal is? Dysfunction. How are we operating in the dysfunction? And what is taking your priority? Paul's guiding us into a proper balance of that which is eternal and to that which is temporary as well. We have family responsibilities. We have financial responsibilities. We have relationships that we need to have and need to be attended to. We also have eternal responsibilities. Do you believe that? Do you think that? Do you even understand what that means? And what are they? What would be your eternal responsibility? Not that which is temporary, but that which is eternal. What are they? Honoring God, living in fellowship, displaying the fruits of the Spirit wherever you go, even in the midst of chaos, you're the patience. Even in the midst of all the distraction, you're the focus. You've got the Holy Spirit of God and the confidence of God to walk through any circumstances. Time is short, and oftentimes we're very much out of balance. See, I was remembering back to a time when I was studying for my well, both, when I was studying for my CFP or when I was studying for my PhD, I found myself doing the same kind of things. Early in the days, I'd walk into the den, got books and stuff, and I got to read, got to study, got to write, got to research, got to do all the stuff I got to do. But I'd look around the den and go, man, it's cluttered in here. And so I'd spend the next hour and a half organizing books, putting stuff away, shuffling paperwork, dusting, taking out the trash, doing all the stuff just so that I could declutter, so that I could go, all right, my environment's good now. I just wasted 90 minutes. I had to declutter my mind. I had to declutter the area just so that I could focus on what needed to be done. It's hard to clear up the clutter. It's hard to clear up the clutter that's around you. It's hard to readjust your thinking. Every hour was important. Finals were coming. I didn't really have time to clean up the den. I needed to buckle down, do my research, write my paper so that I could sit before the exam. But somehow, something in my head, there's too much clutter. I had to plan to neglect the clutter. That's your next one, by the way, plan to neglect. I had to learn to plan neglect. Just plan neglect. Too often we neglect the things that we don't plan to neglect, and we become too entangled with all the other stuff. And so I learned a valuable lesson, and maybe this one might be valuable for you as well. I had to learn, I think it's Erickson's who wrote the book, Your Greater Yes. I had to learn what my greater yes was. And so I learned to say yes to things. I was saying yes to my studies. That's why I'm in the den. There's books, there's research, and I had to say yes to that so I could say no to the clutter and the pile of books that needed to be put away and organized. You understand? What is your greater yes? I had to say yes to my dissertation. That was huge to be able to say yes to do that. Because yes to my studies meant no to golf. When I would say yes, I have to do research, and yes, I have to pull this off, and yes, I have to invest time, that meant no pleasure reading. I couldn't read the latest non-fiction book that came out and the greatest detective story or spend the next 5 hours looking at a movie. I had to say yes. I was saying yes to this, which meant I was saying no to other things. I would like to encourage you to say yes to your gifts, to your passions, to your talents. I encourage you to say yes to those things and dive into those things and delve into those things. Here's your next slide. See, aligning your priorities with God's purposes brings fulfillment in life. Aligning your priorities with God's purposes brings fulfillment in life. And aren't we all looking for some fulfillment? I'd like to have a deeper fulfillment in the sense of my life. Well, align yourself with God. Make God your greater yes. He's the greatest yes. I choose to live by what the Bible says, not by what clutters up my head. I choose to admire and follow what the scriptures say, not what the latest television program is telling me. My greater yes. And when you solve that issue, man, you live a full life of fulfillment. You don't get bogged down in all this other stuff. David Jeremiah had a list of indicators that said, how you would get things that you were spiritually distracted, right? So it has this list of indicators that you may be spiritually distracted. I only listed a few of them. It was kind of an exhaustive list. I didn't want to go through all that. So there's a lot of spiritual distractions going on. That's basically all it was. But I pulled a few of them out. Here's your first one. You feel the pressure to compromise. You feel the pressure to compromise. See, Christianity is not a designer faith. What does that mean? That means you don't get to pick and choose. You're a follower of Christ or you're not. There is no DMZ. There's no demilitarized zone. You don't get the luxury of, designing your faith to believe in things that contradict the scriptures. You don't get to say, you know what? I think I'll take 7 of those 10 commandments and make them mine. You don't get the luxury of doing that. Otherwise, you start to feel the pressure to compromise, particularly from the world. See, you are or you aren't. Kind of like, what's some of the latest distractions from the world? So, do you not know that God created them male and female? Do you not know God created the male and female? But to listen to the world, we've got 1,837 different types of genders. Right? Compromise? Or, oh, wait a minute. Women's rights, women's rights. We stand for women's rights. Define for me a woman. You can't even define a woman. Oh, wait a minute, so, we want to understand all of the rights of it, but, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. Ignore basic biology, male and female, but follow the science, but ignore basic biology. You want to get involved with that? You want to debate that? I don't know, sometimes, it's like, You know, you've got a bunch of people going in the wrong direction, and then you start walking in the wrong direction trying to talk to them. But you're going in the wrong direction. You feel the pressure to compromise? You haven't made a strong enough commitment. Or you're not strong enough in your own confidence. You haven't said a greater yes to what you believe and what your faith is. That you're willing to just, over here, down another rabbit trail. Down whatever the next politician says. Whatever the next celebrity wants to promote. Your greater yes. And stop cluttering yourself up with all the other clutter. And it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. So much of what comes from a dark and a lost world. Why would you want to engage or believe in those things? We're supposed to draw them. Let me clear your mind. Let me help you find a greater yes that will bring fulfillment to your life. Because right now, you sound very confused. You sound very lost. You sound very much in the dark. And many times, listen, the authorities that be, that's where they want you. They want you in the dark. They want you confused. Don't go there. The Lord's calling you to peace, an alignment, and a faith. That's pretty good stuff. You can see the present form. The scriptures tells us you can see the present form of this world fading away. More and more fading away, adding to confusion. Here's your next one. It's a pattern of broken relationships. A pattern of broken relationships. It's sad to say, though, that most Christians are known for what they're against than what they're for. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. We are to be united in our cause. We can have different methods. We can have different interpretations, but we're to be united in our cause that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. That's right. Let New Life Alliance Church always have that same kind of message. Just dog them. Just love them. Just dog them as God does. Finally, all of you, Peter would write, be like-minded, sympathetic, love one another, and be compassionate and humble. That's a tall order. But this pattern of broken relationships, this isn't just a pattern of broken marriage, broken marriage, broken marriage, broken marriage, broken marriage. This is kind of what I call the wake principle, you know? Especially if you've had some kind of years of existence, you know, you've lived 20, don't you have a birthday coming up there? Where's Anise? Is Anise coming up? She's got a birthday coming up somewhere, right?
She had a baby shower.
She had a baby shower to go. She has a birthday tomorrow. So the wake principle, just, you know, she's going to be 24. To be 24. Right? So she's got a few years of wake principle, right? Someone like me is 50-something down the road. I got 50 years, right? So it's like a jet ski that goes through the water, right? It leaves a wake behind you, or a boat that cuts through the water. It leaves this big wake, right? Every once in a while, just turn around, take a look at the wake. What'd you leave behind? What did you leave behind? Not the other person's wake. What's your wake? What wake did you leave behind? Is it a scattering of beaten up and broken down people, shattered, devastated, crushed, stomped on their emotions, traumatized people, argue with people, tell them how disgusting they are? What kind of wake have you left? Broken relationships? It happens in church. You know why a lot of people come to the church? Because they just broke all the relationships at the other church. And they just go from church to the next church, and they'll hang out here for a while until they start breaking relationships here. And then they go to the next church, and you know, those last four churches, they were terrible. See, there's one consistent thing going on there, isn't there? Yeah, you. That's the one constant. You might want to stop looking out there and start looking in here. Turn around and look at the wake. Oh my goodness, what's going on? Too many people, they run people over, bowl them over, they think nothing of it, because it's always someone else's fault. You may be denying spiritual crisis in your own life. spiritually distracted. God's trying to show you something, but you won't see it because you just keep banging off and moving down another rabbit trail and going to another church and moving into the next. And then finally, I'm done. I don't even like people anymore. And you sit at home alone and isolate. What's the pattern? And an indicator that you walk too much in the flesh and not enough by the Holy Spirit of God. What are you saying yes to? I'm saying yes to my anger. That's what I'm saying yes to. Okay. I'm saying yes to my disgust of this entire world. Okay. So what are you saying yes to? Every day, I promise you, you're saying yes to something. You're saying, yes, I'm going to get up and put those clothes on. No, not those clothes. These clothes. No, not those clothes. These clothes. What are you saying yes to? Saying yes to these clothes today. Yes, I'm going to go to church. Yes, I'm going to get in my car. Yes, I'm going to have lunch. Yes, I'm going to stay out after services. Or what are you saying yet? Because you're saying yes constantly, constantly, day in and day out. And oftentimes it's a life lived by your own flesh and not by the Holy Spirit of God. And these are some of the indicators, patterns of broken relationships all along the way. You feel the pressure to compromise to the world so that you can, you're saying yes to the world. No, I'm saying yes to God. I'm saying yes to the world. I'm saying yes to, you need to solve some of the issues. And here's another one for you. It's the last one I picked on from David Jeremiah. You're reluctant to change. You're just reluctant to change. When God calls us, he invites us to become more than we are. To become more than we already are. See, God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you so much, he can't keep you that way. He's got to mold you, shape you, guide you, teach you some things, right? He doesn't leave us the same. Listen, seasons come and seasons go. And when God closes one season, another season is opened. It doesn't mean he's done with you. Because a season is over. God's done with me. No, he's not. He just changed the season on you. It means there's a new beginning. There's a new life. There's a new way to explore. A new pattern to your life that you're going to have to say yes to. Some just want to live in the past. They want to go back to the way things were. But listen, you're not the way that you were. You're not the same. You're not the same. You've changed. You're in a new season. Why do you want to go back to that season? It's a new season of discovery. It's a new season of joy. It's a new season of patterns in the ways of your life. And listen, change can be extremely difficult, especially when it's forced upon you. When you don't want it, nor do you desire it. Death has a way of forcing change upon you. Just ask the Wilson family. McGinnis. Talk to Tim over here. Change happens. Like that. Just like that. I didn't want this change. It's a new season. And it's difficult when you're reluctant to change, when the change is forced upon you. Alcoholism has a way of changing lifestyles in people's homes, addictions, divorce has a way of just forcing change to the lives of children and into your own line. Some changes are just forced upon us, not by our own choice. But listen, regardless, change is here. Regardless. By choice or by circumstance, change is upon you. It's a new season. Are you reluctant to change? And many will kick and scream and fight and argue for months and months and months, years. They'll be reluctant to change. They don't want this. They want that. But it's different. You're different. And if you're reluctant to move into it, or you're going to miss all of what God could have for you. Some never move on. Some people like to say this to me. This is it's almost tragic. You know, I know I'm difficult to live with. And they're okay with that. I know I'm difficult to live with. It's why we argue all the time. That's why there's problems. I know I'm difficult. It's why there's always, when I look at my wake and the principal thing, relationships are awful. I know I'm difficult. But you're not interested in being less difficult? You're not. See, you're reluctant to change. You need, you know, to get yourself together and act right so that you can approach me correctly. Otherwise, right? How often do you feel like you have to walk around eggshells around people? Right? Reluctant to change. Reluctant to adapt into a new season, whether they want it or not. Are they receptive to the new season and moving into the new season? And it's not the way they want it. It's not what they choose, but it is what it is. And oftentimes, you know, we can look at scenarios and we can say, you know what? There's change that is needed, and there is change that is warranted. If things are different, it's okay. It's okay that things are different. It's going to be okay, Les. Things are going to be different, but it's going to be okay. Adapt, adjust, overcome. Tim, adapt, adjust, overcome. Bob, you adapt, you adjust, you overcome. This is what we do as a church family. We walk with people as they adapt, as they adjust, as they overcome, as they become stronger and better, and they're saying yes to greater things. Well, that's that. For those who buy something as if they if it's not theirs to keep. Interesting. Those who use the things of this world as if they are not engrossed by them, for this world in its present form is passing away. We all like our stuff, don't we? Yeah. We all have too much stuff, don't we? Here's your next slide. I think I wrote too much stuff or, oh yeah. Got stuff? Yeah, got stuff. We have built storage units just to house the stuff we can't keep in our house. Anybody? We build, right, storage units for all the stuff we can't keep in our house, to house all the stuff, right? I got stuff at my house that's not my stuff. It's somebody else's stuff that I'm storing their stuff. Parents, right? I'm storing my kids' stuff while they're in transition, and right, we got a lot of stuff. That's the Roll family over here. They're getting ready to move. You got enough stuff? Too much stuff. Yeah, that's when you know you got too much stuff. I can't just fit it in a duffel bag anymore and cross the street, you know? That's like I got trucks and storage units. And I remember us helping somebody move, and so they didn't have room for all their stuff in the place that they were moving to, so they rented a storage unit, and I'm like throwing stuff in the storage unit. And I'm going, hey, how much does a storage unit even cost, you know, to put stuff in here, you know? Oh, it's like $150 a month. And I'm like, this stuff isn't even worth $150. Why are you keeping all this stuff? I cannot hear a word that you're saying, Communion.
I've calculated I've spent over $50,000 on storage.
Oh.
For things I haven't seen in 15 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah.
Ah, nice. So this sermon's right up your alley, man. That's boom. Yeah, the Lord's speaking to you for sure. No question about it. Just like our families can be a distraction, so can all the stuff, right? All that stuff can cost you a lot of money. I gotta buy another house. We should avoid trying to wrap too much pleasure into all our stuff. This stuff that Tina's referring to has brought her so much pleasure, she's avoided it for years. Right? Yeah, I've seen that over and over and over again. They'll store a motorcycle and say, I got a motorcycle. When was the last time you rode it? Well, 4.5 years ago, but, and you keep paying for the kid. Nah. A lot of times it's, sometimes it's all that pleasurable stuff. I was talking to a guy who sells jet skis. Jet skis. And he's a happy guy. So why are you so happy? Why do you love selling jet skis? He goes, this is completely a discretionary item. Nobody comes in here and needs a jet ski. Everybody that's walking in here is happy. They got discretionary income and they want to buy some fun. So I'm selling them some fun in a jet ski. That's a happy job. That's a happy guy doing selling jet skis. People dreaming about being on there. Yeah, that too. I'm happy to just kind of dream of things of God. You know, I've seen some jet skis when they're about 15 years down the road. I have some at a house on the other side of town. There's 4 of them. Beautiful. No. They were beautiful 15 years ago. Now they just sit in the yard and get dry rotted, and the trailers don't move. And they haven't been moved, but we got jet skis. Earthly possessions rust, rot, fade away. Eternal things, God things are awesome and they're eternal. So here's a thought, is eternity a time or a place? Is eternity a time or? Is eternity a place? We all have earthly stuff, but the things cannot become our God. That's kind of the point of the scripture. They will control you. You'll obsess over them. We must choose wisely within our own means. Melinda and I, one of the wisest things we ever did many years ago is we live within our means. We just made the determination we were going to live within our means. And even if we got raises, we did not increase our standard of living. We increased our standard of giving. And it made a huge difference in our lives. It made a huge difference in our hearts. It made a huge difference in the way God worked in us and through us. We choose to live simply, stress-free, and we've never lacked for anything. Have you ever lacked for anything? She's never lacked for anything. I keep asking her, is there anything you want? Anything you want? And we've acquired a lot of stuff over the years too. Too much stuff. And we learn that those that have been given much, much will be required. That's straight out of the scriptures as well, right? We have learned less is more. Less stress, more happiness. Right? Less financial tension, more joyful giving. We don't burden ourselves down with heavy debt. We would rather free ourselves up so we can give away. Different. Godly. Less infatuation with the things of this world and more passion for the Lord. We just have a greater yes. We just have a greater way of looking at things. A different way. And that's the point. That's what the scriptures are trying to teach us. Trying to guide us into. We cannot afford to settle for this earth when God has promised us eternity. This earth is not eternal. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. How heavily invested are we in this earth? When the scriptures say, new heaven and a new earth coming. We cannot afford to get bogged down in that which is temporary. We cannot afford to spend our time and our talents and our treasures ready only on ourselves. We ought to live like we aren't attached to this world. Like we're not infatuated with all the things of the world. Far too many live in this world and for this world. But the scriptures tell us time is short. Your time is short. Give very careful consideration to your ways and to your thoughts and to your greater yes. Christ is coming soon. Amen? Christ is coming soon. And should he tarry, you shall die. It's the great equalizer. And you'll leave all your stuff behind. Live with an eternal focus. And I'm not saying this. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. I think that's your last one, undivided devotion. In undivided devotion. It's amazing to me that God gives you the freedom to choose. You're free. You're free. God, you know, whom Jesus sets free is free indeed. You're free, baby. It's amazing. I don't know why he created you to be like you are, but he made you in such a way as that you can choose to say and go in a different direction, or choose to reject him and choose to go a different way. You can choose not to follow. You're free to not have faith. You're free to not believe in him and believe in the ways. You're free to get in debt. You're free to cook in the kitchen while Jesus is in the living room talking. You're free not to come to church. You're free to live in the past. You're free to get drunk. You're free to shoot heroin. You're free to sell your body to be a porn star. You're free to ignore God and the teachings of Christ. You're free to not change. You're free. The Christian faith is not about trying harder and getting stronger in your dedication and your work. It's the glorification of busy in your servanthood to Jesus Christ. It's about your undivided devotion. Not about what you do. We've got 1,000 like you think you're such a great preacher. We've got 1,000 like you think you're such a great Sunday school teacher. We've got 1,000 like you think you're going to be such a great... Undivided devotion. Not about what you do. You're free. You're free to be. And what you do with your freedom says more about you than any words you'll ever speak. Just so you know, I'm free too. Just so you know, I'm free too. I'm free to preach the word as God guides me. I'm free to pray for this congregation and for your circumstances. I'm free to study the word of God. I'm free to give to missions. I'm free to stay out of debt if I choose to. I'm free to support the police department. I'm free to honor the flag. I can do all of this, and I got ADD that's creeping up on me. What color was the jet ski anyway? Anybody? So what was I talking about? Undivided devotion. That's what I'm talking about. Let's try to live that way. Let's try to live that way. There's nothing that should divide our devotion to the Lord. Not family. No thing. No pleasure. No drug. No drink. No marriage. Not mourning. Nothing in all of creation. It's steal your devotion, dedication to Christ. See, in all things you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has got you. Now, what would you do to separate yourself? What is the most important thing in your life? Well, it's my family. I'm not sure that's the right answer. What's the most important thing in your life? Well, it's my happiness. I just need happiness. If I'm happy, I got good, and I got a good quality of life. And if it's, I'm not sure that's the right answer. What's the most important thing? I need more money. I need a better career. More money, more money. I don't think that's the right answer. Does the way you live reflect undivided devotion to Christ? An undivided devotion to God. See, it's seek me first, and all these other things will be added unto you. There's a serious alignment going on there, isn't there? Don't you think? Isn't it like making the priority God in that regard and putting God in all of those things? God in and with my family. God in my work. God in my money. God in all my stuff and my things. God in my relationships. God in the midst of death. God in the midst of life and birth. God in the midst of change. And when you think about it, that's an abundance of life. An abundance of life. We go out of this world going, had an abundance. From one extreme to the other and everything in between. What a wonderful abundance of life God has given and shown. Let's walk in that abundance of life. It's all around us. In every single household. And it's constantly moving. The body of Christ. Moving. Changing. It's amazing to watch. Let's develop good attitudes and the proper focus. We're going to have a good year. Amen? Amen? Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, just thank you for the opportunity we're able to gather here as brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray, Father, that you would continue to unite us. And Father, that we would be focused upon you. And that our lives would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that, Father, we would walk in confidence and peace. And everywhere we go, we would not be ashamed to declare the good news of the peace that we have found. And that, Father, others might even just say, what is it about you? What is it about you? I have the joy of the Lord deep in my heart. I have a good fellowship upon which I belong to. Brothers and sisters that walk with me in like-minded faith and attitude. We have a greater yes that I follow. So, Father, in this place this day, challenge us, change us, mold us. We are yours. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify you. We exalt you. There is no other God before you. Help us to see that and help us to walk in that way. In the name of your Son, amen.